The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Boker Tov? Yes, interesting day. One thing we can be absolutely sure about is that Rick Astley will not be Prime Minister. And in fact, nobody like him. Nobody like him. None of the words of that song will probably come true in terms of who's going to pick up the mantle as Israeli Prime Minister. Will it continue to be Prime Minister Netanyahu, or will it be somebody new? That is the big question that everybody's asking today.
Right.
The polls are already open. And there are 6.3 million Israelis eligible to vote in this election. I don't know about you, but this 6 million number for me always has significance. And, you know, when the number of Jews in the world returned to 6 million, we said, you know, that was a sign of some victory. And then the population of Israel exceeded 6 million. Now we have 6 million eligible voters. And let's hope that they will all exercise their votes, although we are told that the election will be decided by those people who are undecided. That's what we understand right now.
And I see a tremendous amount of that. If my social media feed is anything to go by, a lot of people that have been very active in Israeli politics and in Israeli society, very vocal about Israel advocacy, they still seem to be undecided.
I think that is a very widespread phenomenon that we're seeing in many places. And let's understand why. Because when you look at the main election issues of the day, let's put personalities to one side for a moment and let's talk about the main issues. I would suggest that the main issues are going to be security, economy, and probably corruption, which has come into, you know, most elections in many countries these days, and is certainly an issue in our election, as you will have seen. So it's going to be those main issues, and probably also, you know, medical and education and social benefits, which are very, very important. Now, from a security perspective, the inclination of the Israeli voting public is to vote right. Whether it be Netanyahu, who has done everything that he possibly can to position himself as being the right-wing candidate and to position his right-wing party as being strong. Strong, vote right, vote strong. And so that's him really addressing the security issue and the fact that most Israelis would want a strong right-wing government in order to deal with security issues. And we're not only talking about, you know, everyday issues on the border of Gaza or on the border of Syria. We are also talking about how we're going to respond when eventually that U.S. peace plan is unrolled. You know, what response will there be to that? How will we continue to respond to the UN Security Council and the Human Rights Council? How will we respond? I mean, the latest that Netanyahu came out with in the last few days is that he's considering the possibility of annexing certain areas of the West Bank. Now, you know, that's an interesting discussion topic that hasn't been raised before, but all of a sudden comes up in the days before the election. So,
which is ridiculous, considering the guy's been prime minister for I don't know how many years now and how many terms. A few days before the election, suddenly he's making this promise. It's absurd.
Well, and of course he's been emboldened to some degree by the U.S. government's recognition of Israeli sovereignty in the Golan. There can be no doubt that the two are linked to each other. So, you know, this whole notion of having a very, very strong right-wing government appeals to Israeli sensibilities on the security front. When you look at the economy, the Israeli economy has done amazingly well. It has grown rapidly. It has produced unbelievable companies. The standard of Israeli living has gone up tremendously. And yet there is still this huge divide in our society between the haves and the have-nots, and the difficulty that people who work two jobs to try and make a living have just to come out at the end of the month, the difficulty that young couples have in order just to get onto that property ladder with the cost of properties being so exorbitantly high. So there are a lot of people who are excluded from the Israeli economy. And the question is how we can level it out lot better. And it seems as if, though, the Likud's economic policies are not necessarily geared towards that. And so, therefore, the inclination would be to vote more center or even more left-wing in order to somehow even out the economy and to make it accessible to a greater number of people without damaging the overall economy. And that's where the danger lies. The danger lies that a more socialist policy will potentially damage Israel's economy. We've had low interest rates and we've had strong shekel and we've had all of the economic indicators, very, very low unemployment. So we've had all the most positive economic indicators you could imagine. And in the international community, when, you know, economists look at the economy of the state of Israel, they see a powerhouse. They see a strong, growing economy, which is not the case elsewhere. And so, you know, the danger is that you somehow level it out, but you damage it in the process and therefore make it inaccessible to everybody. So that's really the main issue on the economic side. In terms of health and medical and education, I think that Israel has one of the most accessible medical systems in the world, that even people, the have-nots, even the weakest members of Israeli society have access to very, very good, very acceptable and very good medical cover at low rates so that everybody really has the ability to take advantage of it. Unfortunately, our public education system is not of the quality that we would like, and the question for the next government is how they are going to work in order to improve our education system. Having said that, you know, we always see the best Israelis coming out of the most well-respected international educational institutions in the world, the Ivy League universities and Oxbridge and every other university that has a name for itself always has Israelis coming through that system. And so one has to say somewhere the education system is supporting Israelis being having access and coming through that system and making a name for themselves. But on the ground in Israel, in the primary school system, in the high school system, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So therefore, that's a huge challenge. Mm. And when we talk about you know, other aspects of Israeli society, the corruption, for example, this is where Gantz and the Kahol Lavan guys have come up and says, have said, we are going to work against corruption. We're going to run a clean system. We are going to do everything that Netanyahu has not done, or we're going to do exactly the opposite in order to try and clean up our system. And I think that a lot of people will respect that. But I think that people are voting more security-wise at the moment, rather than the other issues. I think that security for now still has the most important focus from order of priorities of the voting public. And therefore, I think, you know, my prediction today remains the same as it has been over many weeks and months, which is even if the Likud doesn't have the highest number of seats in the Knesset, I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be afforded another term as Prime Minister. That's the way that I see it at the moment. I think it's going to take probably a month from now until we know exactly how things pan out. There's going to be a lot of shenanigans going on in terms of coalition negotiations and discussions. We've got Pesach in between. We've got lots of things going on. I don't think that we're going to know who the new Prime Minister is finally until probably a month from now. That's my expectation.
What do you think, what do you consider to be the best outcome for Israel?
Well, I would personally very much like to see a national unity government involving Likud and Kahol Lavan together. That's what I would like to see. Because of the personalities involved, it's probably quite unlikely, unless, of course, Gantz and his team of generals and Yair Lapid come to the realization that they can't take on the role as Prime Minister, and therefore they might be better advised to operate not as Prime Minister, but within the ruling coalition rather than from the opposition benches, because that's where they're going to have the most say. And so my hope is that somehow they find a way to fall on their swords and to join the coalition, because it means a number of things. First of all, it'll give an amazingly strong government with many good brains, and it'll have someone like Gantz and Lapid really gnawing away at the prime minister constantly to try and keep him on the straight and narrow, something which may be very difficult to achieve, but I think, you know, that that would be a very positive outcome. It also means that those parties that are around the edges that are in it in order just to kind of take what they can grab will be excluded from the coalition. And, you know, you will understand that I'm talking most specifically probably about the ultra-Orthodox parties who don't really have a platform other than a platform of wanting to keep their boys and girls out of the army.
Self-preservation, I guess.
And, yeah, they want to keep their boys and girls out of the army, and they want to try and secure funding for the religious institutions to the maximum extent possible. That seems to be the most important platform. Of course, they also have issues about public works on Shabbat, and they have other, you know, issues about preserving Jewish law, which I think are all very valid and justified and, you know, need to be in our public debate. The problem is that, you know, when they go into these coalition discussions, trying to get as much funding as possible for their institutions at the expense of other public institutions, that's when the public is really divided up against them. So I would suggest that, you know, for this next government, there might be some value in excluding them from the coalition and allowing a Kahol Levan Likud strong center-right coalition to rule the country. It'll be a very stable government. It'll have a lot of good manpower and brain power involved, and hopefully it will also somehow help to keep Prime Minister Netanyahu as straight as possible in terms of some of the things that have happened before. So I think that, you know, if I was to paint an ideal scenario, that's probably what it would be.
Mervyn says that if education is weak, then Bennett has failed. Are people holding the candidates to account for the portfolios that they've been involved with?
Not really.
Funny, I've noticed that. I haven't seen that. It all seems not to really be about the future and not about what has or hasn't been achieved.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the classic indication of that is that just before the election a few weeks ago, the state comptroller came out with a report about the transport ministry and about the work that the transport ministry has done during the term that Israel Katz has been Minister of Transport. And they were very scathing about the actions of the ministry and about the actions of the minister in particular. He came under very, very strong criticism for the way that he's managed the ministry, and yet he has a very, very senior position on the list of the Likud party. He will absolutely be returned to parliament, and he is probably likely to get a ministry again, and maybe even the same ministry that he's had before, which is a supreme irony. So that is the classic example of how people have not really been held to account. Having said that, you know, all of these issues that we've discussed have really not come out very strongly in the election campaign. The campaign has been all about personalities. It's been all about Gantz and Netanyahu. It's been about the individuals and what they have done and what they haven't done, and really trying to attack individual characters. That's all now put to bed. People will go to the polls today. The polls will be open until 10 o'clock tonight. By then, we already expect to have some sort of exit opinions about what people think. You know, the classic exit polls will be made public very soon after 10 o'clock, and then the counting will begin. I'm guessing that by this time tomorrow when we speak again, we will already have a very, very strong indication of who will have how many seats in the Knesset, but not who the next Prime Minister will be.
Really, really fascinating. Of course, we'll chat to you tomorrow, where we'll get a much clearer picture, I would imagine, of the scenario. Have you been out to vote yet, Anthony?
I have not yet been out to vote, and I will do so. It's a kind of a party atmosphere. A lot of people take, you know, of course, with the day being a holiday day, people taking off, going to the beach. It's a very nice day. So, but I think that there will be a good voter turnout. I think as a general, Israelis do like to exercise their vote. I think there'll be a good voter turnout, and everybody will be out on the streets pre-Pesach time. Of course, there's a lot of cleaning going on today as well to take advantage of the opportunity.
Absolutely wonderful. It is 8 o'clock. That's Anthony Reich with the Israel Report. We'll chat to him tomorrow, where we'll get a much clearer view of what happened and what transpired in the elections today.